This is Mike Johnson with the download edition of the World Business Report Wall Street Update for Wednesday, March the 19th. Shameful. The US Justice Department condemns Toyota's reaction to a safety crisis and hits the company with a huge fine.
The $1.2 billion payment represents the largest criminal penalty imposed on a car company in the history of the United States.
We'll hear how Toyota's reputation remains tarnished 5 years after the crisis.
And I'm Lucy Burton in the heart of Cyprus's capital, Nicosia, a year on from the bailout deal that pushed Cyprus to the brink.
We managed to overcome what was a crisis of unimaginable proportions, and we are left standing and on the road to recovery.
There's now optimism for better times ahead, but what about those who lost tens of thousands in a highly controversial rescue plan?
It's people like me who worked all their lives. We did no wrong. The only wrong we did was put it in Lygee. Instead of a bank, it should be called Lygee Casino.
And as the British government reveals measures to try to help exporters, how much power do politicians really have to engineer recovery? Well, it was 2009 when a car crash in San Diego killed a family of four and sparked a chain of events which was to prove devastating for the reputation of the Japanese car maker Toyota. Now, Toyota has admitted to misleading consumers and regulators when the company assured them it had addressed technical faults which caused sudden and unexpected acceleration. Toyota is to pay $1.2 billion to avoid criminal prosecution for hiding information during the affair. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder described the company's actions as shameful.
The $1.2 billion payment represents the largest criminal penalty imposed on a car company in the history of the United States. This is appropriate, given the extent of the deception carried out by Toyota in this case. When car owners get behind the wheel, they have the right to expect that their vehicle is safe. If part of the automobile turns out to have safety issues, the car company has a duty up front to tell customers about them, to fix them quickly, and to immediately tell the truth about the problem, as well as the scope of that problem. Toyota violated this basic compact.
Quinn Kleinfelder is a journalist at American Public Radio in Detroit, and he told me more about the case against Toyota.
The government alleges in the U.S. that Toyota hid problems with unexpected acceleration that actually was resulting in perhaps as many as five deaths. Toyota said that the problem from this sudden acceleration was because accelerators would stick to the floor, or that the floor mats were not made correctly and that they would jam the accelerator down, or it was driver error. Everything except any design problems. But the government says that, in fact, Toyota knew that the problem had to do with its electronics and the design of the actual automobile. Further, not only that they knew that there were these problems, but they did a somewhat limited recall while knowing that there were still more vehicles out there that could have very much the same problems, and others that at least could be susceptible to that, and they took steps to conceal a completely different acceleration problem, all of which ran counter to what the Justice Department in the U.S. says is the responsibility of an automaker, to tell people as quickly as possible that there's a potential safety flaw.
Yes, and Toyota has actually admitted to misleading consumers and regulators. What does the company say about all of this now? It's 4 or 5 years on. What does it say for itself?
They're saying that they want to put this behind them, that they understand that there were mistakes made, and that at the time of the recalls, they took full responsibility for any concerns or actions that could have hurt customers, they said. They say they rededicated themselves to earning their trust, and that they are going to try to recover people's love for the brand, which in the years that this was happening, 2009, Toyota was basically the automaker at the point. And it also had a big reputation for quality at that time, and that has taken a big blow. There's been some very lasting impacts from this beyond just the deaths and the amount of money that Toyota is having to pay. The company's finances recovered pretty well, but between the global recession, the tsunami in Japan in 2011, its once sterling reputation for quality has been very tarnished. The market share that it has is still now below where it was in 2009. And the company is actually going to be under the oversight of the federal government for 3 years, which is, you know, quite a blow to somebody that made a reputation for making such quality vehicles, to have a government actually looking over your shoulder, so to speak, for the next 3 years.
And one of Toyota's big rivals, General Motors, is facing a similar sort of investigation at the moment, isn't it? Tell us about that.
They are. The U.S. Attorney General, Eric Holder, when he was talking about Toyota, he said that it's the right of any vehicle owner to believe their vehicle is safe. And if any part of an automobile turns out not to be that, the car company has, quote, a duty to be upfront about them, to fix them quickly and immediately tell the truth about the problem and its scope. That goes to this Toyota situation, but it very much goes to a current situation facing General Motors in regards to ignition switches, which have been linked to more than a dozen fatal accidents over a decade's time, and that General Motors never recalled any vehicles for until just recently, when they launched a recall of about 1.5 million vehicles. Congress is investigating General Motors over that. So is the U.S. Attorney in New York, a criminal investigation. They're also investigating the Federal Safety Agency itself, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, that is supposed to be the watchdog over such companies, and demanding that they say, when did GM specifically know about these problems, and when did they recall them, and why did it take so long, and how much were people driving on the roads at risk because of that oversight?
Quinn Kleinfelder. The U.S. Central Bank is withdrawing more life support from the American economy. That means another $10 billion less a month in economic stimulus, which hints at higher interest rates to come. And as I heard from Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, investors on Wall Street don't like it.
The Fed statement actually wasn't all that different from the last one, but I think partly because there were few surprises. For example, everyone expected the Fed would taper again, and indeed the Fed did taper again. With most things coming in as expected, markets start to parse whatever surprises there are, no matter how small. And in this case, it was in the economic projections, which are released accompanying this statement. There is a chart called the dot plot, and it depicts where all of the members of the Fed think interest rates will be at the end of the year, this year, next year, and the year after. And my goodness, if it wasn't just a tiny bit higher in 2015 and 2016, and that's what sparked the market sell-off. The interpretation is that the Fed might start tightening a couple of months sooner than we thought they would. That is probably June of 2015 instead of August.
Okay, so interest rates, people are betting, are likely to rise sooner than was thought. And that prospect of interest rates rising sooner seems to have done wonders for the share prices of some of the biggest banks on Wall Street. They're going to benefit from higher interest rates, aren't they?
Well, that's right. So the banks were up, but companies reliant on consumer spending were down. Walt Disney, GE, Boeing, and the utility group was down as well. I suspect that that's got less to do with the Fed than perhaps more to do with spring coming after a brutal winter. Now, the good news is, at one point, the Dow was down as much as 175 points, and it has come back quite a bit higher on the close.
Chris Lowe, will the Dow finish down 0.7% at 16,222? London's main share index, that was down 0.5% to 6,573. And that's all for this Wall Street Update.